Good to good to sit with you. So I was teaching a retreat a couple of weeks ago, and we were sharing the space, and so another group was arriving the day after we got there, and they started arriving, and to me they looked like kind of it was sort of vaguely frightened looking couples arriving, and then I saw a sign outside their meeting room, which was it had this big heart, and it said, "Love, it's more than a feeling." And it was some kind of relational workshop. And love, it's more than a feeling. And so love, more than a feeling. It is a feeling. It is a feeling for sure. And it's more than a feeling. It is a mind state. A mind state associated with a kind of attentional widening. It makes what is lovable much more salient, much more salient. It changes our motivational tendencies, kind of action tendencies, changes. And it's conjoined with a kind of raft of other wholesome states. So to say a little more about this briefly. So as a feeling, love as a feeling, it's a beautiful feeling, some called divine. It is a kind of sense of aliveness in our body, and it was interesting. I saw a study yesterday where they sort of asked people to describe where different feeling, where feelings, the different kind of forms of love, of romantic love and the love of spiritual love and friendship and all these things, and they created kind of like maps of where the feelings were felt in the body and the kind of where it's sort of brightest, it's interesting to consider for each of us, like what parts of our body light up with different forms of love. A lot, almost most of the different forms of love that the researchers tried to account for, chest was very prominent. There was almost nothing where the kind of felt sense of love excluded the kind of heart region. And we come to just like abide in this kind of these different forms of love is this very felt intimate sense. Not it's not ideas of what love should be or what's right or wrong. It's this very kind of intimate, tender, felt sense. And love, of course, comes in different intensities and varieties. And I alluded to this before, but it's like, okay, maybe we say tinged with warmth is something like metta, loving kindness, and tinged with poignancy is karuna, compassion, and tinged with delight, even rapturous delight, is mudita, sympathetic joy. And flavored by silence is what I associate with equanimity. And sometimes it's very, very intense. The body is very lit up. It can be the whole body, on these maps, it would be like everything's yellow, yellow and red, and the kind of energetic quality of that can make it feel unsustainable, actually. We sh usually think like, okay, more intense the pleasure, the better. But even intense pleasure, intense love can be overstimulating. And so sometimes it's counterbalanced by a very quiet sense of love, very quiet. I remember Jesse Vega Fry, a teacher, describing one monk's metta as being like light from distant stars. I was always struck by that. Light from distant stars. That's a very quiet kind of love. That feeling, it flavors the mind. It flavors the mind. It flavors consciousness in a kind of pervasive way. The question, of course, like what's meant by mind, right? It's above my pay grade, I don't know. And many people smarter, better trained, da, 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 have failed at that question. And so I won't even touch it, right? But feeling is usually characterized as a mind object, but it's really hard to understand divorced from feeling at the body level. This is Lisa Feldman Barrett, who I've been quoting a lot lately. Research, emotion, brain science researcher. She says interoception is usually experienced as the affective emotional feeling kind of realm, as the affective properties of valence and arousal, suggesting that all psychological events exist in affective space. Valence and arousal might be better thought of as properties of consciousness rather than properties of emotional episodes per se. Valence and arousal might be better thought of as properties of consciousness. That's a pretty kind of radical claim. Valence and arousal. Love is a state of arousal. It is a valence. The valence may be, I think we can get more subtle than just positive, negative, neutral. Like, I do feel like, tinged by poignancy, tinged by warmth, tinged by silence or something, right? But our life unfolds like in the space of valence and arousal, the char valence, the charge, and a level of arousal. And that, Barrett's characterization there is very close to what the Buddha said in highlighting the prominence of Vedana, pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And it gives some sense, I feel, of the way love as a feeling, as a felt sense, infuses the view, the sense, the very basic sense of what life is in this moment. Knowing and our kind of intentional states, knowing and wanting are not strictly separable. Any attempt to know the world, to know something, is suffused by our motivations. And so what we want is not entirely separate from what we see. And when what we want, when the kind of when the intentional state, the motivational state, the valence, the state of arousal through which we see is love, some important things happen, right? When it's not actually craving through which we perceive the world, which is always going to be craving, we will see impediments and opportunities, right? Okay, what happens when love infuses the view? Well, it's amazing what it's like when the kind of bubble of suffering or alienation or apathy just pops. And sometimes it's just one moment of love, of metta or something that dispels a whole day or week or even lifetime of pain, you know? It's amazing how much can fall away very quickly. And when love begins to infuse the view, different things happen. The sense of self, the sense of self, the preoccupation with I amness, that fades quite a bit, you know? That fades quite a bit. The sense of the self is a little, it's a little like an injury, I think. It feels like the doctor, but it's more like the patient, you know? And it's trying to heal itself. It's trying to like pull attention, energy towards it. And, but self-focused attention, like self-absorption and negative feelings, they sort of interact, you know. When we feel worse, we get more absorbed. When we get more absorbed, we tend to feel worse. We sort of like, okay, something's not right. I'm not feeling love. We sort of retreat into the cramped, you know, basement of self. And then when we get more absorbed, get more self-focused, you know, it often fails to actually heal the injury. We kind of feel worse. And so this movement, love infusing the view, it reduces the kind of the gravitational force field of self-referential thinking. It reduces the kind of absorbing quality of the wound of self. And so the attention then just gets broader, broader. It literally can feel like moving out of a tunnel. And there's not always, but the trajectory of practice generally is towards more spaciousness. Not entirely. There are certain kinds of contraction, the world shrinks down to a kind of pinpoint, or mindfulness gets very tight, small, or cessation is a kind of collapse of space. I don't want to say that spaciousness equals good, contraction equals bad, or something. But in general, love and space are partners. When Love begins to infuse the view. How we just interpret the world changes, how we interpret the world, like there's a phenomena like hostile attribution bias, right? Where anger leads us to interpret like ambiguous stimuli negatively, or to overestimate threat, or to see what is actually neutral as aggressive or hostile or something. It's a kind of attribution bias. We see more hate when the mind is inflamed. And I wouldn't say that we become kind of like biased in the direction of love. Maybe, but I would say what is lovable becomes very prominent. It's not that we cannot perceive threat or something like that, but what is lovable becomes much more prominent in the world, in the eyes of another person, in nature. And there is, in fact, so much to love, even amidst samsara. And so, love is when love infuses the view, is said to be the antidote to fear, classically, an antidote to fear. We abide in love. Fear recedes. And so love is, it is more than a feeling. It is a feeling that's more than a feeling. That feeling infuses the view, and then it actually begins to create a kind of feedback loop in our life where we become more and more attuned to what is to goodness, to what can be loved, to what is lovable. And that changes our how we engage with the world. And then that changes over time, that changes how the world engages with us. And so we'll have another period away from the screen, but the invitation is to look for the ways that that love can infuse the view. You know, and it doesn't have to be like some artificial thing where you're sort of like trying to convince yourself to believe in love, or trying to see something that is seems unworthy of love as worthy. It's not that. Don't pretend. Don't pretend, but just look at the ways, like when we ring that the kind of bell of love, and that's often how I think about practicing metta or something like that, is like we're just ringing a bell, like, okay, may you be happy, ringing that bell, and then listening to the reverberations in our body. You know, so we ring that bell, okay, there's a little feeling, yeah, I can sense some love there. Maybe it's tinged by poignancy or whatever, right? It comes in different flavors, but there's some sense of like love is here. It's like valence and arousal, maybe very quiet, but it's here. And yeah, that's going to change what the world looks like. And so, explore as you see fit. And maybe you fit doable to get out and walk a little bit and see whatever's out there to be loved. And this can be very stealth dharma. You don't have to be exclaiming love on the streets or something. It's like just, but you're just like anchored to the poignancy of life. And no matter what you see, one of the Brahma Viharas is going to be medicine. The kind of genius of that list of loving kindness and compassion and joy and equanimity, like that is a very complete list. No matter what you meet, one of those species of love has something to say. And so let's practice in this way. We'll come on back in 25 minutes, quarter to, and keep going. Okay.